And welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Michelle Knezovic and Nick Fraser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Michelle, good morning. Co-hosting
morning,
with me today, 5 hours of radio coming up for Michelle.
So, I know, 5 hours. I've switched on the other side of the glass while Rex Road's out. So get a little fun edition of Robbie and Michelle today.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that. Nick, good morning. How are you? Oh, we don't have
Nick's
audio.
Nick's muted.
Sorry about that. Was not part of that. Excuse me. Doing
right,
well.
Somebody,
how are we?
If Rex Road's not here, somebody's got to mute. It's
exactly.
You got to fill in the role.
Exactly. I'm doing well, though. Doing well.
Well, appreciate you being here. We got a lot to get into on the show here today. We'll have Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean at 8 o'clock will join the show. And then, of course, David Poyle, Predators general manager, for his weekly visit at 8:30. So a lot to get into today, and we're going to get into all that and do all that, but I think we would be remiss if we didn't start the show just discussing what a horrible day it was yesterday in our city. And, you know, there's, you know, I got a lot to say on this, so this may take a minute. But, look, it was just a horrifying day yesterday. I mean, it was shortly after we got off the air where the reports started to come out about the school shooting over at the Covenant School. And the three young children and three staff members that lost their life just going to school yesterday. And, you know, obviously I, like everybody else in town and in our community, was watching the coverage, as much of it as I could watch. I mean, there was a point where I didn't really want to watch much of it anymore just because I was, you know, it was hard. And, you know, first off, shout out to the Metro Nashville Police Department and the firefighters and the first responders and everybody that got there in the midst of a horrifying situation and prevented it from getting worse yesterday. You know, I listened to a lot of great reporting yesterday on News 2 and Channel 4 and Channel 5 and Fox 17. I thought everybody did an outstanding job yesterday, you know, kind of covering the story, and from everything I heard from the police department yesterday, it was just it was incredible to hear stories about those people thrusting themselves into harm's way and not thinking twice about it and going in there and dealing with that situation. But it's just a heartbreaking day yesterday in our city, and obviously we've talked about it. You know, I'm about to become a father, and just the idea of, you know, kids going to school and not coming home to their family was really difficult yesterday. And look, I know that, and I heard a couple people talk about this yesterday too. I know that when things like this happen, there is a political discourse that naturally follows. I understand that's going to happen. Quite frankly, I have no interest in getting into that on our show. I'm not smart enough to tell you how to think in those areas. And quite frankly, I don't think any of you care what I think about in those areas anyway. So we're not going to do that on the show here today. What I hope and what I will say, though, is what we cannot allow to happen as a community is for these six people who lost their life, these three young children and three staff members yesterday in this shooting. We can't allow them just to become names that happen far too often in things like this. Just names that we talk about for a little bit, and then all of a sudden they just kind of fall into the ether and they're just names at that point. These are our people, and this is our community. And we got family members of three young children and three staff members who are suffering unimaginable pain right now. And it's a really, really difficult thing to kind of sort through. And like I said, I don't have any answers. I don't know what you. I don't know what the answers are, and I'm not smart enough to get into all that. But it was just a really, really painful day yesterday to watch all that unfold. And, you know, Michelle, we're sitting here in the studio right now, and we've got, you know, a couple different local news channels on, and they're going through the reporting and just everything that's happened over the course of the past 24 hours, and it continues to be really, really difficult to watch. So I mean, look, we're a sports show. We've got to, you know, that's our job. That's what we got to do, and we're going to do that. We'll get into the Titans, and we'll get into the Preds and all that stuff today. But it was just a really, really difficult day yesterday in our city. No question about that.
Well, and Robbie, I think you put it pretty perfectly, right? We're not trying to have a political discussion here. We are simply talking about six people in our community who lost their life yesterday when going to work or when going to school. And, you know, a lot of the videos that have been surfacing, whether it be newscasters, reporters, people covering all this tragic day just around this Middle Tennessee, I mean, national news, right? I mean, they're babies, right? You mentioned you're having a kid. I was talking to my mom last night just thinking, she said, you know, Michelle, I never worried about sending you to school when you were a little kid. And there's been so many of these incidences in the last, you know, couple of years, right? I think, you know, when I have a kid someday, I mean, they're our youth, right? We're supposed to protect them.
Yep.
And it's just an incredibly tragic situation. And I think something else you said that was really important is that, you know, every single day that passes, depending how close you are to the situation, you kind of start to forget. But these families and these mothers and these fathers and grandkids who lost their grandparents, that is every single day for the rest of their life that they have to live without one of their loved ones. Their little kids couldn't, you know, finish elementary school, right? Go on to graduate and things like that. So I think it's important too that, you know, as a part of this community, I don't know how to fix things like that, but, you know, we remember these people and it's just a tough situation all around, but I mean, you know, praying and thinking of the families and everything and everybody affected by that today. And,
kind
of just watching all the coverage right now. I know it'll be an ever an ongoing story we hear and see about for a while now, Robbie.
Yeah, for sure. And look, you know, I've been around this area for a long time. I've grown up here. I was born here. And, you know, we've never really seen anything quite like this that happened yesterday. So, but I mean, we've had tornadoes, we've had some really bad things that we've gone through as a community. And the one thing that I love about this place and that a lot of people love about this area is we rallied together well. I mean, I think back to the floods in 2010 and we rallied together and we love on each other. And that's what we do here in Nashville. And it's important to do that. It's important to be there for these people who are just going through an unbelievably difficult circumstance right now. And I was, you know, my wife and I were just sitting down watching all this happen yesterday, and it was really difficult to watch. And just, you know, you're talking about kids here, and it's, you know, a school that, you know, I've been around here my whole life. Like I said, I didn't even know that school existed. Like I had no clue that was there. And, you know, from some people that I was talking to yesterday that are kind of more in the Green Hills area, you know, they've talked about, you know, they knew it was there, but it was just kind of just quiet and out of the way, just a school where people can go and learn. And it's just a really awful, awful situation. And, you know, like I said, shout out to the police department for getting in there and preventing it from becoming worse. But it's just a really difficult day in our city. And, you know, like I said, we're gonna do a sports show today. It's gonna be difficult to do. I mean, honestly, last night I was sitting here putting the schedule together today for the show, and I was like, man, like this is really it took me forever to get done with it because I was like, this is really difficult to do because I don't really feel like talking about sports today, and sports kind of seem so trivial, but yet I also recognize that sports are also, you know, an escape for people of the day to day life. And I think that's really important. Like we've talked about this before. Like I think it's important that people have that outlet of sports to be able to focus on other things, and we're going to do our best to do that. It was a really difficult thing to do last night to be watching all this unfold in our backyard and to be able to try to do our best to do our job as we move forward here. And we've talked about this with other circumstances too. Like it always registers when it happens somewhere else. Like I always watch and I'm like, man, it's just awful. But when it happens in your backyard, I mean, it hits different. I mean, I don't really know how else to describe it other than that.
Well, and even as recent, you know, Joe Rexroad working with us, his son going to Michigan State and that incident that happened not too long ago. And then you're hit close, but on a different level. And then, like you said, Robbie, for it to be in Middle Tennessee, and the way it developed yesterday, Chase and I were actually still on the air, and it happened in the last segment. And you're trying to get as much information as possible and, you know, be informed in what's going on. And,
right.
you know, I can't even say enough of how much you just feel for those parents. And, you know, I saw so many videos of parents just running to the school and
yep.
and how much you feel for the families and people that lost their loved ones. It does feel weird, you know, to have a sports show today with so many more serious things going on in the world, in our community right now. I mean, especially this, just the entire tragic situation. But we do understand the fact that sometimes, you know, talking about sports, it's a gateway, and it allows you to, you know, kind of not look at all this so much. And it, I mean, it's just tragic. It really is. And sports can be kind of that getaway for you. But I mean, thinking about the families, I know we'll probably say something on all of our shows today, just addressing it. And obviously, if any new news happens yep. or anything else is found out, we'll make sure to address it as well.
Yep, no question about that. 615-737-1025, we're off and running. And like we said, I mean, our prayers are out to the families and everybody that is connected to this situation in Green Hills at the Covenant School. Just a horrible situation yesterday in our community. And now it's our job as a community to rally around these people. And I know that we'll do that, and we'll do that in the same way that we've always done that when faced with tragedy here in our city. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will get into some sports. We'll get into Lamar Jackson and his trade request that he put out there yesterday on social media. Mike Vrabel speaking yesterday at the NFL owners' meetings as well. Rand Carthon with some comments. We'll get into all that throughout the 6 o'clock hour today. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Michelle Knezvik. Nick Fraser here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So Lamar Jackson, that situation, I guess, took somewhat of a turn yesterday. Now, people are making a huge deal out of this. Lamar Jackson getting on Twitter and requesting, or I guess informing people that he has requested a trade. So Lamar Jackson took to Twitter yesterday, funnily enough, right when John Harbaugh at the NFL owners meetings was stepping up to the podium, which was
timing was impeccable.
Interesting timing on Lamar Jackson's front. But he said, quote, "A letter to my fans. I want to first thank you all for the love and support you consistently show towards me. All of you are amazing, and I appreciate y'all so much. I want you all to know not to believe everything you read about me. Let me personally answer your questions in regard to my future plans. As of March 2nd, I requested a trade from the Ravens organization, for which the Ravens have not been interested in meeting my value. And in everyone that's met me or been around me know I love the game of football, and my dream is to help a team win a Super Bowl. You all are great, but I had to make a business decision that was best for my family and I. No matter how far I go or where my career takes me, I'll continue to be close to my fans of Baltimore, Flock Nation, and the entire state of Maryland. You'll see me again." So that's what Lamar Jackson put out there on Twitter yesterday. Now, everybody's making a big deal that he requested a trade on March the 2nd, and I guess I get it, but he's out there and he's available anyway. Like, he's the Ravens put the non-exclusive franchise tag on him, which means that mm-hmm. any team is free to negotiate with Lamar Jackson right now. Now, it's going to cost you a couple of first-round picks if you decide to go ahead and sign him to that contract and make that deal. We talked about that. It'll cost you the money that it will take to get Lamar Jackson, which will be substantial, and the two first-round picks in addition to it. But, like, I guess I read it yesterday, Michelle, and I was like, okay, I mean, he's requested a trade, but he's already available. So what kind of, is it really that big of a deal that Lamar Jackson has requested a trade? He's already out there and is available to other teams.
I think it became a big thing, first off, because it's Lamar,
yep.
and second off, the pettiness of the timing.
That's pretty good.
He's like, oh, I know that they're up there right now. I'm going to schedule this tweet at exactly 10:30 or whenever it was. And then, of course, Twitter went crazy, as it always does.
Yep.
I think also something to mention, Mike Tannenbaum put this out, that the Ravens could take less than two ones if they agree to a team who agrees with a contract on Lamar. So that recently happened with Packers, Raiders, yep. Devontae Adams. So the contract, though, that he is asking for, I mean, the Ravens are a smart organization. So I look at this business move when they put the non-exclusive tag on Lamar Jackson. They knew what he was asking for. He probably wouldn't be able to get around the league, and people wouldn't be willing to give two first-round picks and then also, in addition, take on a contract that Lamar Jackson is wanting. I mean, you look at the Cleveland Browns and you're like, damn, they really screwed this up for the Ravens and the entire NFL right now, because people aren't wanting to give fully guaranteed contracts like that, let alone to, I mean, a guy like Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes. And they're like, you know what? No, we're good. We'll take the team-friendly deals. We want to win Super Bowls. But I don't exactly know what Lamar Jackson is asking for. I mean, I know there's been reports. I could see him maybe taking not as big of a contract, because I feel like right now he's just like, okay, we've been doing this negotiations for close to a year and a half now. I mean, it started before last season.
Oh, yeah.
And you add on the fact that he doesn't have his own agent. So he's in the conversation with the GM and the coach and whoever else is there. And they're basically saying, well, no, we're not giving you that. We want you to be our franchise guy, but that's ridiculous. We're not giving you that contract. So, you know, the Ravens, a very smart organization, unlike the Browns, said, okay, test the market.
Right.
Test the market, Lamar. Let's see if any other team, you know, is willing to give you something like that. And here we are now. No one has said anything. Teams have actually come out and said, nope, we're not interested,
right,
which I thought was very interesting, saying that they're not interested. And now we're sitting here. He's telling everybody that he requested a trade, but I don't think that does anything for him. And I think it all goes back to, Robbie, to agents and why they are so important for players and representing them. And there's a way to do things. And news came out that he had one of his business partners calling NFL teams. And last week, the NFL had to send out something saying, you're not allowed to negotiate with this man who is apparently representing Lamar Jackson. And I look at it right now and I think, damn, you know, I mean, Lamar was an MVP, right? I mean, he has been good in the league, and he should get a contract somewhere. But this is just so messy right now. And I look at it that if a team wants him, they will go and get him. But it's just very messy right now.
Well, I mean, Chuck on the text line, I think, sums it up well. He says, the Browns were idiots. The Cardinals panicked, talking about the Kyler Murray contract. Says, the Ravens look like they have a realistic view of what these quarterbacks are worth. And look, first off, you know, it's obviously the relationship between Lamar and the Ravens has deteriorated. Now, John Harbaugh got up here yesterday and was adamant that Lamar is his guy and that this thing is going to get worked out and that he's going to be the quarterback. Now, maybe it will, maybe it won't. I think from Lamar's side, he's pretty clearly frustrated, and he's now requested a trade in addition to all this. So in Lamar's mind, he's done. He's not a Raven anymore. I mean, I think that's pretty clear. Now, whether or not that ends up happening is going to be interesting. Like, he's been available now for a few weeks. So teams have had the opportunity, if they want to go and negotiate with him if they want to. Now, there is a team that kind of snuck their way in there yesterday in terms of commenting on the Lamar Jackson situation, which we will get into a little bit later in the show, and that may or may not be in the AFC South. We'll get into that coming up a little bit later here in the program, which would be, I'll just go ahead and tell you, it'd be a very Jim Irsay move if this happened, but we'll see what happens on that front. But, like, the trade part of it, I mean, I guess if you're a team out there and you look at the situation like, yeah, I'm not giving him the money that he wants plus the two first-round picks to get him, like, is there a way that Baltimore would deal him for anything less than that? Maybe. Like, I don't know. But, like, if I'm Baltimore, I'm looking at him like, well, it is a former MVP quarterback. We'd like a couple first-round picks for him in addition to the contract you're going to have to sign him. So, like, I guess from the Ravens' standpoint, I'm sitting there looking at it like, this guy's still young. Why would I deal him for anything less than the two first-round picks it would already take you to negotiate with him anyway? I don't know that I see the Ravens being like, yeah, we know that you guys have an opportunity to deal with him right now and sign him that contract and offer two first-round picks if you want to, but we'll trade him to you for like a first and a third. Yeah, it's probably not going to happen if you're the Ravens.
Well, and they already tagged him.
Exactly.
I mean, the Ravens are a very smart organization, and I think the way that they're playing this whole situation is perfect because they're in a win-win situation. Okay, if a team wants to come and get Lamar, they're going to have to give us two first-round picks. I did mention that, you know, if there was, you know, a deal made, there might not have to be two first-round picks. But as you mentioned, He's a young quarterback. He has been an MVP. He's still, you know, working on getting that next contract in the NFL. People can talk about their injuries, whatever. He's still one of the top quarterbacks in the AFC, in the quarterback-heavy AFC. So the Ravens can really just sit back and think, okay, well, he's tagged. Basically, if another team wants to come and give us two first-round picks and then also take on his contract, okay, that's a win-win situation for us because next year's quarterback class looks great. And if something can't work out, we'll have Lamar as our quarterback next year.
Right.
I guess he could sit out, but he's going to get fined.
Right. I mean, look, you could sit out. I mean, he could. But, like, first off, is that gonna help you in your negotiating with other teams?
You already haven't played since prior to the playoffs.
And that's costing you. I mean, look, the tag. I understand the franchise tag is not the money that he wants. But, I mean, it is over $30 million that you're losing out on. You don't play there. I mean,
I know.
Honestly.
I'm probably not sitting out.
If he does sit out, I wouldn't be surprised. It might actually help his stock a little bit. I looked at next year's quarterbacks, and it's, I think, Shedeur Sanders, Caleb Williams, and Drake May out of North Carolina. So, like, that's your top three, if you include Evan Ewers from Texas. So, like,
you don't have Joe Milton in there? It's disrespectful.
I mean, you know, yes. if he declares, you know what I mean? Yes.
Okay.
No, Spencer Rattler.
Yeah,
I mean, if y'all want to, I mean, it's fine.
And Nick's like, "What are you guys talking about?" 6 a.m. hour.
Keith from Bowling Green on the text line says, "I think teams will wait until after the draft to negotiate with Lamar, and that could happen. I mean, the price is still going to be the same if that happens. It'll just be for next year's draft and the year after that. But I'm interested to see what happens on that front. Now, if you're the Ravens, I mean, you could also just tag him this year." And then tag him again next year and then figure it out after that. I mean, that's the thing with the franchise tag in the NFL. It gives you options. But, you know, this is a really interesting situation where you've got Lamar Jackson basically waving goodbye to Baltimore fans yesterday at the same time that John Harbaugh is up there on the stage out there at the owners' meeting. He's like, yep, he's our guy. We're going to get this thing worked out.
Lamar's like, I'm trying to leave. And they're like, you can't. Yeah. You can't yet.
not
you can't.
Do it.
Well, because, and that's the thing. He puts out this whole tweet, you know, saying, bye, Baltimore. Love you all so much. I requested a trade, but yet you're still there.
Teams it was almost have, a month ago when you requested a trade.
Teams have come out and said that they're not interested right now.
Right.
And you're waving goodbye, yet you're tagged, and your coach is saying, yep, Lamar's our guy. Can't wait. Can't wait for next season. He's our quarterback as of now. And we're all just sitting here. But I bring it back to the agent conversation,
yep.
Right? That's the way he's telling everybody, hey, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be out of here because he doesn't have an agent
right.
who can actually call these organizations and be like, hey, here's the deal. Got Lamar. This is what he's interested in. He doesn't have somebody who can do that. So I bring it back to just not the smartest business decisions on Lamar's front. Very smart business decision on the Ravens' front.
Yep. No question about it. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll get into the Titans. Mike Vrabel addressing the Kevin Byard and Ryan Tannehill situations yesterday. We'll get into that and hear what he had to say coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025 Cam on the text line says the only way the Titans could be interested in Lamar is if it happens after the draft. This is from Cam on the text line. I mean, I guess that could be the case. I'm not going to rule it out. I don't get the sense that the Titans are all that interested in Lamar Jackson. Now that I mean, look, things could change. Like Cam says, you get through a draft and you take a look at your team and maybe you rethink the Lamar situation if he's still out there, but. Right now, I don't get the sense that Lamar's on their radar.
I agree, Robbie. I mean, just based off the moves that we've seen Rand Carthon make and Mike Vrabel make, I mean, they're very cheap. You know, as far as the term, it's very short. They're deals. They're frugal, safe. You're shopping safe with the deals that they have made, and I don't see them going out and giving this huge contract to Lamar Jackson. Especially, you know, you add on the injuries and then you just you compare that to the injuries this team has had and how that has just been a huge issue here. I can't see them paying all this money to get a guy to be their franchise quarterback who's coming off an injury, who didn't play much of the end of last year. And I just don't see it happening, honestly. I mean, maybe it will. Maybe I'll be surprised. But I look at this offseason right now and the draft about a month away of them just making safe moves to fill roster spots, to, you know, build some depth at different positions. Ryan Tannehill is their quarterback. It'll be much easier to move off of him next year. I don't see them trying to make that work. I guess unless, you know, you tried to trade Tannehill to the Ravens. I guess that could be an option and get Lamar in return. It all comes down to how much guaranteed money does he want and what does a contract like that look at? Hey, maybe he's willing to, you know, take a different type of contract if he can just get out of the Ravens organization.
Hey, look, maybe. I mean, I would have to think, with the way that this has gone to this point, mm-hmm. I mean, part of the Ravens' strategy, without me knowing for sure inside their building, was probably like, if you think you can get a better deal, knock yourself out, man. Like, go see if you can get yourself a better deal. And if that doesn't happen, I wonder if there's some backtracking on Lamar's part as to what exactly he is asking for. I mean, he may not have a choice, but I'm interested to see what happens on that front. We'll get back into the Lamar discussion coming up next hour, because there could be a team in the AFC South that could be vying for his services. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. Mike Vrabel did speak yesterday at the owners' meetings out in Phoenix, Arizona, and he talked about a variety of different things, but also addressed the Kevin Byard situation that we've talked about, with Kevin Byard reportedly being asked to take a pay cut, and we've discussed the ins and outs of that. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say yesterday on the Kevin Byard situation.
Under contract, Kevin's a valuable member of our football team. I've said that, his durability and his leadership, you know, and so we'll see where things go. But as of now, there's nothing to report. Communication has been really good. I've tried to make a great connection with him as a player and a captain on our team for 5 years. But those are conversations that happened between Kevin and his agent and Ran and myself, and try to find ways to continually improve our football team.
So that was Mike Vrabel yesterday at the owners' meetings. Teron Davenport out there, Jim Wyatt out there, and Paul Kuharsky out there as well, shooting video yesterday. So shout out to those guys being out there and covering the owners' meeting. But some interesting comments there. We talked about Carthon yesterday. He said flat out to Jim Wyatt at TennesseeTitans.com that neither Kevin Byard or his representatives have asked the Titans for a release. And then Mike Vrabel obviously addressing that yesterday. Look, Vrabel said everything that I expected him to say. I mean, mm-hmm. I think it's pretty clear he likes Kevin Byard and he respects Kevin Byard and the job that he's done. The first thing, without fail, that he talks about with Kevin Byard every time, two things come up immediately. It's the leadership and it's the availability. He talks about how available he is. He's always on the field. I mean, he's talking about, even when he's talking generally about injuries, and we've talked about the callus and bruising comments, or blisters and calluses comments, or the David Long Jr.'s and the Christian Fulton's being called out. Really, the guy he goes to in opposition is, well, Kevin Byard, knocking on wood, he's never missed
great.
A game. So, you know, I think it's clear that Vrabel respects Kevin Byard. But, you know, Corey Curtis, he brought it up yesterday, and I think it's an interesting point. Like, Carthon said that Byard has not asked for a release, which is good. Obviously, that's great. But he didn't say anything about not asking Kevin Byard for a pay cut. And when things like this happen, that can create a strain. And look, Kevin Byard's a great guy. I think mm-hmm. he wants to be a Titan. He talked about that at the end of last year. But business can get in the way of even the best relationships in professional sports. And I'm really interested to see how this plays out. If there's not going to be a pay cut, what do the Titans do? Like, I'm really interested to see how Byard and the Titans react to this as they move forward. There's been some downplaying the last couple of days from Vrabel and Carthon, and I'm interested to see if it continues that way, if there's not a resolution that's found in this discussion.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't surprised by their comments. It's very much hush-hush inside the building. But when Rand Carthon said, No, Kevin Byard didn't ask for a release. First thing I thought of was, well, you didn't say you didn't ask him for a pay cut. So I have a feeling, you know, I don't have any doubt that that happened, right? But, you know, I look at the situation and I understand that there's a new general manager. But the reason Kevin Byard's cap is so high is because when you were in your Super Bowl window not too long ago and you're trying to get guys like Julio Jones, Bud Dupree, Zach Cunningham to beef up your roster, Kevin Byard had to restructure. And he, you know, in addition to being available, being one of the leaders on the team, you know, being one of the top safeties in the league, here's a guy who has been adjusting his contract these last couple of years so that you can try and go win a Super Bowl. I understand a different general manager, but, you know, you add up all of those things, and then his contract is the way it is because of this organization. That is why his cap is so high right now. And then you're going to ask him for a pay cut. It's kind of like, he's like, okay, guys, I mean, what am I supposed to do? I mean, we've already adjusted this so many different times. I'm not going to take a pay cut, first off, because I do everything right in this organization. I'm one of the best players. So,
well,
I mean,
it's like that part of it aside, like very rarely are players like, yeah, sure, pay cut. Let's do that.
Who wants to? Yeah. I mean, if somebody was like, you want to take a pay cut? No. Yeah, exactly. No, like, I'm not trying to, you know, fix my salary, but. You know, to the point you made of, I mean, we're talking about Lamar Jackson. Look at how, I know he doesn't have an agent, but look at how that contract negotiation, there's rumblings and things start to get said. And you can look at Aaron Rodgers right now with the Packers and the Jets, right?
He's like,
I'm just going to go out on the podcast and I'll say my truth, right? And I'm sure the Packers probably didn't appreciate all of that. And it starts to create this drama, this conflict within the organization. And you're right. I mean, we don't think that Kevin Byard is not going to be on this team next year. We don't think that they're going to try to release him or cut him because, you know, that would not be good for the Titans, because I think there's like a $13 million dead cap if they were to cut him. So it would have to be some sort of trade situation. But I'm not ruling it off the table, because at the end of the day, it is a new general manager, and I don't know what Rand Carthon is thinking.
Well, and like beyond that, like to me, I still don't know that they've really declared what they are, like declared what they're going to be this year, right? I mean, look, they've replaced David Long Jr. They've found Andre Dillard at left tackle. You know, Brunskill has come in. He's probably going to be the right guard. Like, they've made some moves to fill some holes. So, like, it's not like they're just totally stripping this thing down and trying to totally rebuild. Mm-hmm. But are they all in, for lack of a better term? Like, are they trying to – do they view next year as, like, oh, we're in a Super Bowl window. We got to capitalize while Tannehill and Henry are still here. Like, they've not declared that yet to me. I mean, we talked about receiver yesterday. No. They got, like, Traylon Burks, and that's about it right now.
They also don't have tight ends.
Yeah, they've got Chig. That's about it at tight end. So, I mean, the picture's incomplete at this point, but they've not declared what they're going to be yet. So – I think for anybody to say, well, don't worry about it, like Kevin Byard's a lock to be on the team, like, I don't know that. And we'll see what happens. I mean, you've got to get through the draft. And like I said, anytime these conversations start to crop up, sometimes that creates issues. And we've seen that happen time and time again in professional sports. Both Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel also addressed Ryan Tannehill and his role as starting quarterback for the Titans yesterday as well. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Fenton joining the show at 7 o'clock. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Join 102.5, The Game, for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament, benefiting Souls for Souls, coming up on June the 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. You can sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We'll have Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock. Get her thoughts on the Titans as well. Right now, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. So we heard Mike Vrabel's comments on the Kevin Byard situation. Mike Vrabel also addressed Ryan Tannehill as the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans and whether or not the Titans want him as the starting quarterback yesterday. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say out at the NFL owners' meetings.
I mean, of course we do. That's where we're in March. We're continuing to build a football team, the best football team we can. And Ryan's healthy. He's getting healthy. I would say that he's putting the work in. It's been good to see him around the building. So, yeah, And we always expect that. But to make predictions, I think I've been through this last year. I'm not going to commit to anybody being on roster on September. You know what I mean? I've seen it change too quickly. And of course that, you know, we want Ryan as our quarterback and everybody else that's helped us win. That's what we want.
So that was Rabel on Tannehill yesterday. Again, shout out to Paul Kaharski from paulkaharski.com, to Ron Davenport and Jim Wyatt for being out there at the owners' meetings. But look, the Tannehill part of this, I mean, he's talked about it. You know, Tannehill obviously has been rehabbing from the injury, mm-hmm. and he's been around. I mean, they talked about him being in the building. So there was the Vrabel comments on the Tannehill situation yesterday, and Rand Carthon and Paul Kaharski took this video yesterday. Rand Carthon with probably the strongest comments yet as it relates to Ryan Tannehill. Here's what Rand Carthon had to say yesterday out at the NFL owners' meeting.
I'll be honest with you, like in terms of looking for more language, I don't know what more we can say that can, you know, substantiate what everybody wants to hear or whatever the case may be. You know, Ryan has done a great job. He's been in the building. He went on a brief family vacation with his wife and kids. He's been back in the building working hard, working diligent. And it's just like anything else, man. I mean, guys have to earn it on the grass. You know, and I think that's adding context to what Vrabel said. Like, you can go out and you can – it's very rare that you come into this season with a starting 11 that ends as the starting 11, you know, at the end of the year. So, I mean, I don't know what more to say, what more to talk about in terms of Ryan. Ryan and I, we've had, you know, multiple conversations. He's in a really good place, and I feel we're in a really good place.
You thinking of Malika as the backup at this point? I know you need a third arm at least for camp, but – you think he's in position, or you hope that he'll be in position to be the number two?
Yeah, that's the hope, you know, but again, just like everybody else, Malik's got to go out and earn it. I think Malik's had a great offseason. I think he's attacked it. He stepped up in terms of a leader and what that looks like to be an NFL quarterback. I think he's grown. But again, just like everybody else, once we're out officially on the grass, he has to go out and earn it like everyone else.
So that was Rand Carthon, courtesy of Paul Kaharski yesterday, discussing the Ryan Tannehill situation. Also said there the hope is for Malik Willis to be the backup quarterback. So, like, I put those two together with Tannehill, with what Vrabel had to say and what Carthon had to say. And both, I mean, both make it sound like Tannehill's their guy. Like, that's what they're saying. Now, they're also both leaving the tiniest little bit of wiggle room mm-hmm. of we never want to fully – like Vrabel was talking about, you never fully commit to anybody – in March of what's going to look like in September, because he's seen it change too often in this league. I mean, heck, we saw
last March.
He talked about A.J. Brown, and as long as he was the coach, A.J. Brown wasn't going to be on the trade block. And then a few weeks later, he got traded. So I get what Vrabel's saying there. Carthon talked about him having to go out there and earn it on the grass. So I get all that, leaving yourself some wiggle room that way. But, I mean, to me, I'm reading into those things as Ryan Tannehill's quarterback for the Titans next year.
Welcome to the media world, Rand Carthon, of us asking about Ryan Tannehill. Every chance there's a microphone in front of your face. I thought his comment about, well, I don't really know what other language I can use to explain this. And, you know, they're being very uncommittal, which is unsurprising, right? I mean, it is only March. The draft is about a month from today. What this tells me is they're still weighing all their options. I don't think it tells me that Ryan Tannehill for sure is going to be their quarterback. I think it tells me that, yeah, he's putting in the work. He's been here, you know, trying to get that ankle fixed up, and Malik has been here too. But I also look at that as, okay, they still could draft a quarterback.
Sure.
They still could, you know, weigh their options if they're interested in Lamar's situation, which I don't think they are, but they still could weigh their options. Right. I mean, right now I look at it and I think, okay, this roster has not made any significant, you know, jaw dropping moves.
Yep.
So I feel as though I'm kind of on the edge of my seat because I feel like something may be coming, whether that's drafting a quarterback and things switch around in that room. You know, whether it's getting off veteran guys. We just talked about Kevin Byard, right? There are a lot of things going on. And with with some of the comments and with some of the conversations that kind of came out of the NFL Combine, right? I mean, there were talks about shopping Derrick Henry. However you want to, you know, define shopping, there were talks about it, okay? Sure. So that's coming out, you know, asking Kevin Byard to take a pay cut, you know, releasing Ben Jones, right? All of these things and kind of just seeing some of the older guys move on and almost the turn of the page. I'm not surprised if anything. I mean, I would give it a 75, I think, percent chance that Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback.
Yeah, look, the draft part of this is interesting, right? Because, I mean, we talked about it yesterday. I mean, they were obviously at Ohio State's Pro Day. Now, that could be for C.J. Stroud, but that could be for a host of other people. I mean, Paris Johnson Jr., we yes. go down the list of the Ohio State people that
basically
they could be watching.
Any position you're looking for.
I mean, well, look, I mean, even – I wonder how many people are at Ohio State's Pro Day to just say, hey, look, it's Marvin Harrison Jr. over there. Next year, looking forward to you, buddy.
Yes.
But, you know, we know what all that is about. They were at Kentucky's Pro Day. We talked about the Will Levis part of this yesterday. Like, I think the Titans would be nuts not to at least consider quarterback, right? I mean, I'm not saying you got to take them at 11 overall or move up to go get one, but I do think it's well within reason to consider that. And we've talked about this from the moment the season ended mm-hmm. last year of you better take a look at this draft class at quarterback and approach it like that's what you're going with. And if you get through the process and you just don't love a guy or you can't go get him, then fine. Take whoever's there at 11 and – whether that's an offensive lineman or a wide receiver or whoever, and go from there and figure out your future quarterback later. But, like, I'm not ruling out that the Titans end up with a quarterback. And if it's not at 11, like, I'm really interested to see where Hendon Hooker goes. Mm-hmm. Like, is that an option for the Titans? Like, so, I mean, I'm with you from that standpoint. Like, I would not be totally shocked if the Titans end up going quarterback at some point in this draft. Now, do I think it's likely based on where they sit right now in the draft? Probably not. Like, you'd probably have to, if you want to go get one of those guys, you're probably gonna have to move up, would be my guess. But I'm not totally ruling it out either. I mean, then I guess the earning it on the grass part that they talked about mm-hmm. would be the nice quarterback competition between Tannehill and
it'd be a fun training camp. Well, I mean, there's been a lot of mock drafts lately that actually have him dropping to like 18th.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, the way I look at it is, unless you went to Kentucky's Pro Day and you believe that he 100% is our guy, or you think that, you know, Anthony Richardson is your guy, I don't know. Not my job to evaluate quarterbacks. But, you know, I look at them going to Lexington, going to Kentucky's Pro Day. I mean, there were 11 guys competing. They went there to go see Will Levis, I can almost guarantee. And if somebody else, you know, showed out, cool, you got a chance to look at him as well. But if he's a quarterback that dropped – and they didn't go to that pro day, and he turns out to be some, you know, I mean, I look at the Bears. They told Patrick Mahomes, yeah, you know, we wanna get you. Yeah, he thought he was going to be a Bear. They trade up, they get Mitch Trubisky. I mean, look at how that bit them in the butt. You just don't know. I mean, we can look at these prospects and these college guys, but, I mean, I understand why they went there, because Will Levis, I would say, is probably the most polarizing quarterback, but some people view him that – maybe he could be the next Josh Allen. So them going there, doesn't it signal to me they're taking a quarterback? But it opens the option, I think, if he is the one guy that drops, maybe they like what they saw and they would want to take a chance on him. Or you mentioned Hendon Hooker, right, in the second round.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. We'll get her thoughts on all of this with the Tennessee Titans. What are they doing in the draft? And what more could we see from the Titans as this offseason continues? We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.